It's time to share secrets and insights from fellow entrepreneurs. If you're looking to grow or start a business and you're a game changer, then keep listening to Avanti Entrepreneur for great advice from your host, Dave Momano, America's Entrepreneur Coach.
Hey, Avanti listeners, if you need help with payroll and HR, look to Paychex. More than 500,000 companies rely on Paychex for payroll processing, HR services, credit card processing, and expert support. Talk to our partners at Paychex to get started. Visit payx.me/Avanti for more information and get a free month of payroll. Yes, a free month of payroll. You can also visit AvantiEntrepreneurGroup.com and visit our partner page for the link. Please think of Paychex for your payroll, HR services, and so much more. Hello and welcome, Avanti Entrepreneur listeners. I am Dave Momano, and I am here to really fill your brain with incredible knowledge, incredible nuggets, so you walk away after this podcast with just at least one thing that you can do to make your business, make yourself better. And boy, do I have a great guest today to help you with that. His name is Ron Kaminsky. Ron, good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, David. Doing great. How are you?
I am fantastic. And you are live from lovely Cleveland, New York.
Cleveland, Ohio.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm in Rochester, New York. I'm so used to saying New York. How egotistical am I, right? New York. I always say New York. I don't know if there's a Cleveland, Ohio or a Cleveland, New York. Cleveland, Ohio, where you have two out of three really, really great sports teams this past year, right?
So far, so good. Yep. Yes. Yep. No complaints here.
Yep. No complaints. Baseball did really, really well. Basketball obviously went all the way. But, you know, just
yeah, we haven't started the football season, so we're good so far this year.
Yeah. Yeah. It's OK to be 0-0 right now. Right. So
correct. Yeah. We're 500.
Just don't want to have zeros for too long. Right.
Right.
Right. All right. So, Ron, I'm going to give your bio and then we're going to talk a little bit more about who you are and what you do to help entrepreneurs grow their business to the next level.
Sounds great. Let's do it.
Here we go. So, Ron is the founder and CEO of a company called Culture Shock, C-H-R-O-C. And for more than a decade, Ron Kaminsky has been helping organizations and leaders build high performance teams, specializing in workplace culture, change management, and team development. Ron excels at helping companies engage their employees to grow and thrive. Ron is a graduate of John Carroll University, who has been a small business owner and an entrepreneur and speaker since 2003. As a consultant and facilitator, Ron has worked with organizations including Bank of America, Siemens, Ingersoll Rand, Charles Schwab, and the U.S. Army, as well as dozens of small businesses. His style and practical solutions have made him a trusted advisor to many mid-sized CEOs who seek to better engage and leverage people. Ron serves on the board for the Cleveland, Ohio chapter of Entrepreneurs Organization, EO. And while he's not helping teams and leaders tap their full potential, Ron is spending time with his two children preparing for the next obstacle course race or paddleboard somewhere. Ron, it sounds like you're a great athlete. In our pre-conversation, you're leaving tomorrow for Charleston, South Carolina, to do a 10K, is that right?
I would refer to myself as a wannabe athlete. I think the great athlete days have passed, but there's effort there.
Sounds like you're modest. Sounds like you're being modest, but I appreciate that. So, but you know, I often talk about habits of success for successful business owners, and you know, 9.5 times out of 10, if not all the time, exercise is an important piece of the recipe. And it sounds like that's an important piece of your daily habit. Is that correct?
I think it needs to be a better piece of my daily habit. However, I would say that when I do engage in it on a more consistent basis, every part of the life improves. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I work out every morning. I'll say most mornings. Sometimes I have to skip. And when I don't work out in the morning, I totally feel different. My fuse is a little shorter. I'm not as good of a thinker. So I definitely try to get at least a half hour in the morning, if not more. Otherwise, my day is off, you know?
You're better than me if you can do it every day. I give you credit.
Any other habits that you would recommend for people? Any daily or I'll say, you know, semi-weekly habits that really help you to be your best?
You know, something I've been doing daily that was a resolution this year that I've actually stuck with is the morning prayer meditation. I've downloaded the app Headspace. I also kind of have a guided prayer journal that I use once a day. That's been really helpful to me. I believe it really helps get you focused on gratitude at the beginning of the day. And I think it allows, you know, all that noise that hits us throughout the day to kind of fall off and helps you stay focused on what's most important and how you can be most productive in the day. So I can't speak to extensive experience with it, but for the past couple months here, it's been a big benefit to me.
I'm telling you, I think almost every person I've had on this, when I ask them their personal habits, they're talking about meditation. And it just seems like it's such a big thing for people these days. And obviously, the people I'm talking to are very, very successful. So I'm starting to put two and two together that meditation may be a big contributor to success.
Yeah, it only took me 39 years to figure that out. But but hey,
never too late.
You know, it's working so far. So.
Never too late. Tell me about your you called it your prayer journal. So I look at, you know, praying and journaling as two separate things. How are you combining them into one?
Yeah, so it's just it guides you through the Bible. You take a verse or a couple of verses every day, and it kind of just walks you around the Bible, and then just an opportunity to reflect on that and what it means to you in your daily life. And so in addition to that, that Headspace app that I've been using, if I can get 20 minutes in the morning on both of those, that is just, it's just a different day. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know why. But that 20 minutes pays dividends throughout the day.
20 minutes of the praying, journaling, and the meditating to yep. Like, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And it's called Headspace. All right. I'm going to write that down. I've heard that a few times now. Is it just an app that I can get on my iPhone?
Yeah. Yeah, I think you get about 10 free sessions to give it a shot, and then it's pretty inexpensive for the value it gives me. I think it's about $10 a month, but they have all kinds of guided meditations on there. If you're having a hard time sleeping, if you want to leverage exercise better, you've got some anxiety, whatever that is, it's been helpful.
Can it help me? Can it help my humor? Is there a humor meditation?
I think you're on your own with that. But
thank you. You are funny. well, Ron, thank you for that. Want to dig a little bit more into who you are, your journey so far.
Sure.
In your 39 years, and then really dig into your business and how you help people grow their business to the next level.
Sounds good.
So yeah, just tell us how you got started. How did you know you got out of college? What were you doing, and how did you end up becoming the owner of your own business called Culture Shock?
Yeah, so went to John Carroll University, a small Jesuit school here in Cleveland. My father went there, and so I was trying to follow in his footsteps. And great school, great business school, graduated with a marketing degree. But the whole time I was there, I kind of knew that the typical, hey, study hard, get good grades so you can get a good job, didn't really apply to me. I felt, for lack of a better term, unemployable. But I came right out of school in 99. And at that point, the world was going to end unless all these software systems out there were changed over to new versions. And mm-hmm. So jumped right into selling and implementing ERP systems for mid-market manufacturers. And, you know, if you didn't implement our system, the world was going to end. So kind of found myself in the right spot at the right time. Had a lot of fun doing that and started working with implementation teams that were, you know, haphazardly thrown together, you know, as an effort to get this, you know, big hairy system implemented in these manufacturing organizations, and found a lot of these teams really struggling with how do we make decisions? How do we, what are the ground rules? Who owns what, where? What are our timelines, milestones? And started to quickly realize that I really enjoyed the team components of everything I was doing. Not so much the software components. And stuck with that for a few years, and then 9/11 hit. And when 9/11 hit, IT budgets disappeared almost overnight. Mm-hmm. In fact, I remember losing two deals that I had on the table with prospective clients that evening. They sold businesses to their competitors.
Wow.
And And so when that happened, it was kind of some soul searching here. Did I want to take, stick with this technology route? I certainly saw it as potential to be lucrative. There were some other job offers out there from some other technology-based organizations that were kind of being dangled like carrots. But at the same time, I had a friend who had a camp down in mid-Ohio, and it was a camp for kids with learning disabilities and behavior disorders, and they built this ropes course up there. And they said, hey, you know, Ron, you work with all these organizations. You kind of speak the corporate lingo. Are you interested at all in getting certified on this ropes course as a facilitator and helping us with corporate groups to supplement our children's programs? And we did that, and that was a lot of fun. And spent some time up in the trees and with kids and out in nature, and started to really realize that I liked this team component. And so a friend of mine and I started a business based on it, basically saying, hey, we're going to outsource your corporate groups from this camp. And we started this part time. And the idea was that we could provide a more professional experience to them than camp counselors could. And that's how I started the business. And we started it as a partnership kind of quickly. Within about 6 to 8 months, realized that we had two different ideas of what we wanted to grow and how big we wanted to be. And still friends today, but the idea of having two different visions here really started to ring true. And so I ended up buying him out, and he actually ended up taking over his family's nonprofit organization at the camp when his father became ill. So that's how I got into this. It was totally organic, never went to school for it. And in every iteration of the business since, been driven by our clients asking us, hey, we love how you do this. We love where you help here. What else can you do for us? And so every kind of ceiling we've broken through has been at the request of our client base. And so that's how I got into it, is completely by accident. At the same time, I knew I was unemployable. I knew long-term I wanted my own thing.
Very cool. How'd you come up with the name Culture Shock, leaving the K off of the shock, I should say?
Yeah, so Culture Shock, you know, you hear it out there used in pop culture and all that. But the whole concept of Culture Shock was actually that's really what we do. In most organizations that we engage with, they're not hiring us because they're, you know, super healthy, super profitable. They have no problems. They usually have some issues they're dealing with in their business. Now, it doesn't mean that they're a low performing organization, but even the highest performing clients we have want to be better. And that's something we see in high performers all the time. But the idea of Culture Shock is kind of rooted in this mindset of be a buffalo, which is one of our first core values. And so to explain that, the story goes that buffaloes as a herd charge into storms, knowing that they're going to see blue skies faster. And cows as a herd run from storms, essentially guaranteeing they're going to spend more time in pain. And that's what we help companies do, is to really turn and charge into those storms, stop kicking the can down the road on issues that they've refused to solve or haven't been able to solve to that point, whether it be structure issues, people issues, engagement issues, etc. Every business has those. And so our approach is somewhat of a shock in a good way for these organizations, that the status quo is not going to get us to where we want to go. And so that's kind of how Culture Shock came to be.
Very cool. So confronting the problem head on, which probably often includes some difficult conversations, some candid conversations to have with people.
Sure. And that's why it's a core value in our business, and actually our first core value. If you're not someone in our, if you're not cut from that cloth, doesn't make you a bad person. It's just not a fit for our organization. And so if you're not willing to have candid conversations with your peers in our business, if you're not willing to have candid conversations with business owners and other leadership team members, where they're used to being surrounded by people that are yes men in some ways, then we're not providing value in that room. And so we actually have to prepare ourselves every day when we engage with our clients that we need to be willing to be fired for doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing is that most of these leaders are finding this really refreshing because they haven't had that exposure. Kind of like to consider ourselves the anti-consultants. We want to make you independent in your business and self-sustaining as fast as possible. We do not want to create dependency on us. And that kind of flies in the face of most consultancies.
Well, because they want to keep on making money, right? So, sure. I mean, you could give a man a fish or you could teach him how to fish. So you're doing some teaching. Yep.
You got it.
I love it. Very interesting what you do. You're a coach, but you're a certified EOS implementer. And I know what EOS is, an entrepreneurial operating system, but many of our listeners may not be familiar with that. Can you tell us a little bit more about that system and how it helps entrepreneurs scale to the next level?
Sure. Absolutely. So we help entrepreneurial leadership teams of privately held businesses, typically between 2 and 50 million in revenue, about 10 to 250 employees, get more of what they want from their business. And we help them get more of what they want from their business by helping them do three things. We call it vision, traction, healthy. So number one is, how do we get 100% pure alignment to a vision in an organization, top down, every level? No one's exempt. And so we get everyone rowing in the same direction, emotionally engaged around a common vision. Next, what we do is we help organizations get traction against that vision. And so the idea of having a culture of discipline, execution, and accountability against that vision, what we found and what our experience has been over the last 14 plus years is a lot of organizations actually do great vision work. And then they create this beautiful binder that sits on the desk and collects dust until 11 months later when we got to look at it and see if we actually did anything against it. So we help them get traction against that vision. And then finally, we help them get healthy. And starting with the leadership team, so goes the health of that team and their ability to work together and solve their most important issues and have a high level of vulnerability-based trust. So goes the rest of that organization. So vision, traction, healthy, and it's all done within one holistic operating system that's really simplified. Founder of that organization is Gino Wickman. He wrote the best-selling book, Traction, and several other books. But the real idea of EOS being an operating system, not a software operating system for your business, but how we handle the idea of alignment to a vision, traction against that vision, and finally healthy as an organization, starting with the leadership team.
Yeah, that's great. And I've known companies, I mean, I've read the books, and I think Gino's brilliant. A good friend of mine, Rob Dubay, who's been on my podcast in the beginning when I first started, he's got a company called Image One in Detroit. And he's in the book. Gino talks about him a lot in the book because he was one of the first clients. I don't even think it was a book then. I think Gino was just doing some consulting work that eventually caught on. And he talks about how, I mean, Gino helped them out with a lot of stuff. And I'm sure you do it too. But sometimes it's just like one thing that a coach or consultant will kind of enlighten you on that can make the whole difference. And, for Rob, he's got a partner and they're literally like high school friends. They've been friends forever, business partners now for 20 plus years. And of course, like any relationship, they have ups and downs they complement each other. So, what is it in the EOS system? One's an integrator and one's a visionary, right? So, the visionary is the manic. The more of the entrepreneurial CEO that we think of, like, hey, let's do this and this and this and this, and wants to say yes to everything. And the implementer is the counterpart that says, hey, let's think about this, so the implementer is more, what you're supposed to do, ready, aim, fire, and what the visionary is ready, fire, aim, right? So, So they were experiencing that and having some frustration. And one of the, Gino's traction principles was just to have a meeting offsite. once a week, every other week, and just a debrief meeting. Just have a coffee, no agenda, just kind of talking things through, communicating out of the office in a more casual environment. And he said that one simple thing did wonders for the relationship and for the company and really put agreement into a process that new ideas, if they were to be implemented, how they would be implemented. And it really just helped him. So that's what I love about working with a good coach or consultant is sometimes it's just like one tweak in your business can make a huge, huge difference for a long, long time.
Right. And you know, I say it all the time that the two best business decisions I ever made was implementing EOS. I was a client first. We implemented the business, implemented EOS in our business and saw what it did for our business. And so EOS is one of them. Joining EO is another. We could talk about that too. But the EOS component for me was we kept hitting the ceiling and hitting the ceiling and hitting the ceiling. And after reading Traction and Rocket Fuel and really implementing the system is what we realized was, you know, I'm a purebred visionary. I'm a terrible integrator. And until I had, you know, I always thought I had to own the integrator job of the business as well. I don't know if it was from an ego standpoint or if it was from I just thought I was supposed to because I was the owner. Until I delegated it and elevated just into that visionary role and really empowered someone on our team, Pete Hansberger, to take over as integrator of our team, did we really take off. And, you know, the idea that you really don't have the unique ability, and if you do to do both, you're kind of a unicorn. But the idea of if I could be a visionary and integrator and both of those being a unique ability for me, that's absurd. And so I'm the guy with 20 ideas before breakfast, 19 of them we shouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. And Pete's really my filter to the leadership team that's giving consistency and holding us all accountable to executing the vision we all agreed to. So it has been one of the single best business decisions I've ever made.
You know, it's funny. I'm like you. I have no business integrating anything, right? You know, way too many ideas. And it literally was stressful to my team. And they asked me if they could set up an R&D task force to vet my ideas. And which really became, I called it research and destroy because like they killed all my ideas, right?
Sure. They're filtering you.
Oh my God. And then finally I said, all right, guys, you got to let some of my ideas go by. And then the whole agreement was that if I had an idea that I thought was really, really good, I would write it down and I would put it away. And if I would look at it again in 2 weeks. And if 2 weeks later, if I still thought it was a great idea, then I would put it through the task force. And
you're a lot more disciplined than I am. I would just send out a text message at 12:30 p.m.
Well, I used to do that. So I'm 48. You're 39. So you've got some more maturation process to happen here, you know. But but now, you know, and I got to tell you, I would say 9.9 times out of 10, I look at the idea 2 weeks later, and it's somewhere between like, I don't think that's the best use of my time to. What the freak was I thinking, you know?
Sure,
but at that time, I think it's a great, great idea, you know? So I've got two ideas now in the hopper. They're in my desk drawer, wrote them down. I'm going to look at them again in about a week and a half and we'll see what's going to happen.
Awesome. Well, good luck getting them through the committee.
I know. Research in Detroit committee. So, so Ron, you know, listen, we all have stories, entrepreneurs of ups and downs, the roller coaster of being an entrepreneur. It's not all lollipops and puppy dogs, as they say. And I know that you said you have a story of we like to call the crashed and almost burned, but you use that experience as instead of a failure and an ending as a learning experience and maybe a new beginning. So I would love to hear a little bit more about that story so you can, you know, share with our Avanti entrepreneur listeners about the, you know, kind of behind the curtain story of being an entrepreneur.
Yeah, sure. So I'm sure most people's stories kind of happened around the same time period, but mine was 2008, 2009 during the big crash. And at the time, we were actually growing pretty well as an organization. We were doing a lot of work in the banks. And what we had really found was that all these banks had been hiring tellers, and they had to transition these tellers into salespeople, and they were having retention issues, and they were having retention issues because they felt the sales was cheap, and they had this concept of, you know, I wasn't hired to do sales. I was hired to be a servant, you know, to serve my clients. And so, we had to do some help organizations with some mindset shifts there. And when we got involved in, when we were working with these banks, we got heavily involved in some management and management rotation programs and onboarding programs. And some of our training was, you know, was kind of brought in to that, to those organizations as a checkbox you have to have if you're going to be a leader. And one of our clients was, unfortunately, was about 60% of our business was gobbled up and bought by another bank. And that we had about, for us at the time, over $250,000 in outstanding business that we had delivered on and not yet been paid on. And that was a lot for us. And so that happens. At the same time, I'm literally on my back with two herniated discs, and needing surgery. And to go deep and to be personal about this, I was really struggling in my marriage. And I remember my wife at the time walking into the recovery room after surgery and just knowing that it wasn't going to work. And
she knew, or you knew?
I think we both knew. Mm-hmm. I think we both knew it was getting there. And, you know, with two young kids, so lost 60% of my business on my back and feeling like I'm alone. And it just so happens that a friend of mine, actually a friend and client of mine, said, you know, you really need to look into this EO thing, this entrepreneurs organization. In fact, there's a meeting next week. Why don't you come? So show up to that meeting and they say, hey, anybody here have any issue that you kind of want to float out there and get some mind share around? And I was literally within a few weeks of, I think, closing the doors and accepting a job offer from one of my clients. It was lucrative, but I also felt like it was going to kill my spirit because, you know, it wasn't something I was passionate about. Mm-hmm. And I said, what the hell? You know, I'm going to lay it all out there. Here you go. This is what I'm faced with. And for the first time, I felt like I had peers. You know, I couldn't really talk to my wife about the struggles I was having in the business. Didn't want to stress her out. Couldn't really talk to friends that didn't own a business. They had a hard time relating. Same thing with family. I came from a family of people that grew up, went to school, got good grades and got big jobs. But they didn't own businesses. And yeah, for the first time, I felt like I had a group of peers. And in that meeting, I literally made the decision that I'm going to make this work. And turned the business on its head, went from an event-based business to more of a retain-based business that was more stable and value-based for our clients. And I remember I have a great friend in that organization now. In fact, I was in his wedding and probably have dinner once a week. But he remembers sitting next to me in that meeting and looking at me and thinking, and he shared this with me. He said, Ron, I just looked at you and I thought, man, this guy is screwed.
Oh, geez.
and he's like, you know, look where you are now. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, I owe that to two things. I owe that to EO. I owe that to my EO forum. Seven other guys that own other businesses that have really pushed me and helped me grow. And I owe that in large part to EOS. And that's why I'm so passionate about sharing that journey with other entrepreneurs and sharing EOS with other entrepreneurs, because it's done so much for me personally.
That's such a great story. I mean, you were at the brink of kind of giving up and going to work for somebody, and you took one more deep breath and it literally changed the course of your life. I mean, that's what a great story. And you know, kudos for you for being able to summon up to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And I was thinking about this the other night because you asked if I had a story like that. And I was on the verge of not sharing anything because I didn't know these people from Adam. But that whole idea of vulnerability and showing vulnerability is the times in my life, at least, when I've grown the most. And if we're always showing up trying to put on the happy face and impress and be the one with all the answers and the best looking life, are we really growing? And if I hadn't shown vulnerability, I'm probably not here today. In fact, I know I'm not. Yeah. But I'm not tooting my own horn there. It was just an observation that, man, that's really where we grow the most. Yeah. Is being vulnerable.
Yeah, and I really, really appreciate that. I mean, you know, Patrick Lencioni wrote a whole book about it. I think it's called Getting Naked, right? And it really is. Listen, we don't have to be the superheroes. You know, we all have been there. And it's just, if you're an entrepreneur for a matter of time, it really is just a matter of time before, you know, you're on the down part of the roller coaster. And then, you know, and then it's so helpful if you could just reach out to other people to say, hey, here's where I am. I need help. Can you help me? Experiences, advice, maybe loaning money, whatever it is. Like, we all need to be there for each other. And I think a lot of people become entrepreneurs because they look at the sexy lifestyle that it appears to be. Mm. And, ooh, look at that magazine cover. He's got a girlfriend and a nice car, right? And he just made $10 million by going public. And, you know, listen, the rest of us, that's not life. We roll up our sleeves. Sometimes it's great. Sometimes we're waking up in the 3 a.m. and the inner lining of our stomach just fell out. Or anywhere in between. That's the real life of an entrepreneur. So I really appreciate you reminding everybody that, you know, number one, if you're having a tough time, you know, don't keep it to yourself. Like, talk to your peers, talk to people about it. EO is a great place to do that. Other organizations, I have been in EO for 13 years. I just got out, because I'm doing so much on my own, but incredible. I started my local chapter. I'm a big believer in the EO entrepreneurs organization for sure. It's, you know, Vern Harnish, who's been on my podcast, the founder of EO, just couldn't be a better organization. So being vulnerable, but on the other piece of it too, when times are going well for you, you know, be there for other people, right? And I'm sure you're very cognizant of the fact that, hey, listen, this guy's down. I've been there and done that. What can I do to help this person?
Sure.
Can I share experiences? Exactly. Yep.
Yeah. So, and just to clarify, I'm not on the EO board right now, but I started with EO in their accelerator program under $1 million in revenue, mm-hmm. and spent 3 years there and then 5 years in EO so far. And the whole idea of what you give, you get back tenfold. So, I was a participant in the accelerator program. I wasn't even a member of EO officially yet, because I was under $1 million in revenue, and they needed someone to step up and lead the program, and I had no idea what I was doing, so I volunteered to lead. So I ended up staying on the board in Cleveland for a couple of years, and then was kind of dragged into, not dragged into, I was happy to do it, but the regional board for 2 years, and then on a global committee for 2 years. And so I just cycled off 6 years of EO, board positions, et cetera. But what I found was that the relationships I've built, the learnings that I've had, and the peers I now have all over the world, are as a result of me giving time. They're not, they're not things that I could have bought anywhere. Yep. And so, for me, the give back is a no-brainer. Yep. And so the whole idea of providing opportunities for whether it's employees or peers, or just being an ear for someone to listen, that's going through a hard time and something that you can share an experience on, that's incredibly gratifying. In fact, our core focus in our business, the reason why we exist, is we are passionate, crazy passionate about discovering, engaging, and growing leaders. Now, whether that's our kids in our own families, our employees, or our clients and their employees and their team members, that's what gets us up in the morning. That's what gives us the goosebumps. And so when we have an opportunity to do that inside and outside of the business, if you're cut from that cloth, you know, you're going to fit in really well. And so it's kind of awesome right now. I feel like we're in at least I am personally in a really good place where I'm living authentically. I have that in my personal life and in my business life. And certainly not perfect, certainly have plenty of flaws that I've got to address. But the idea that that's what centers us every day and that's how we're making decisions in our business to make sure they're all aligned with that, it's just been awesome.
You know, I got to tell you, Ron, you sound really grounded, probably the most grounded entrepreneur I've had on the show. So I don't know if you're putting on a little show for me today, but you have this calming confidence about you. So,
I don't know if it was all the bourbon I had.
You're just really hungover, right? Now, I am sure that this is your authentic self, and I appreciate your perspective and your thoughts and all the really the experiences that you shared with us today. It's been very, very valuable. One of my favorite parts of having a podcast is I get to learn myself. And, you know, what do they say? The greatest student is the teacher. So me being the host of this podcast, I get to learn so much. And I learned a lot today, and I'm sure my Avanti entrepreneur listeners learned a lot today as well. So thank you very much for that. I appreciate that.
Yeah, pleasure.
So, Ron, listen, we're going to have all the information about how to contact you and links to your site in our show notes at AvantiEntrepreneurGroup.com. But if our listeners want to get in touch with you right away, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, so it's just ron@cultureshock.com, and there's no K on shock, all one word.
Great.
So I'd reach out that way.
Okay.
And you know, that sometimes I'm away from my desk or I'm with other clients, but my assistant Lee helps make sure that we're responsive.
Listen, I got a call out for Lee. I've been dealing with Lee to get you on this podcast. And
isn't she a rock star?
Let me tell you something. Will you share her with me? Is it possible? I think she is phenomenal. Lee, if you're listening to this, I love you. I'm sure Ron does too. So we love you.
Yeah, there you go. You won't be the first person to ask.
Yeah, no, really great. So Ron, thanks again. Really, really appreciate it. I wish you continued massive success. And if I am ever in Cleveland, I will definitely look you up and we'll go grab some dinner and some bourbon.
Let's do it.
David. Thank you, Ron. And Avanti listeners, go to AvantiEntrepreneurGroup.com to hear this podcast again. Get show notes from Ron and all my other dozens and dozens of podcasts with great, great interviews and their show notes. And of course, information on our products, including coaching services and mastermind groups and my online course. And a lot more. That's at AvantiEntrepreneurGroup.com. Thank you, Ron. Thank you, listeners. And everybody, make sure to stay awesome.
Thank you for listening. Head over to AvantiEntrepreneurGroup.com for show notes and more helpful advice from entrepreneurs like you. Continue to find your entrepreneurial rhythm at the Avanti Entrepreneur Podcast.